Hi, hello, and welcome to Youth Updates, a regular drop of info to help keep you in the know when it comes to youth culture. So it is time for another round of Youth Updates. Thank you for listening along with us. We're so delighted that you are here. If you are new around here or you need a bit of a refresher, we're just going to introduce ourselves. So we're going to say our names so you recognise our voices, and also what is our favourite kind of potato. So I'm going to first bat it over to my compatriot.
You were
companion.
Trying to not say my name as well.
I was, yeah, I was indeed.
Hey everybody, so the Brummy voice that you can hear is Hannah. It's really good to be talking to you. My favorite, so we're going like form of potato rather than like
not like Maris Piper,
although yeah. Maris Piper would be my favorite.
Makes really time. Good roasties.
Yeah, 100%. I'm gonna go a bit left field. I'm gonna go Dauphinoise.
Ooh,
they're just so good. They're actually really simple. It's just like creamy layered potatoes, but so good.
Sounds beautiful.
Okay. Who
sounds
are beautiful. You and what is your favourite form of potato?
So my accent, sort of interesting voice, is from a mixture of places, but my name is Beth, and I think my favourite form of potato...
Don't say mash.
No, it's not hash browns, I think.
Ooh.
I love a decent hash brown. Mm. Just the crispiness and just... I mean, potatoes are great, aren't they? One of the most versatile foods.
I love potatoes.
Yeah, a genuine...
I love potatoes.
But I mean, before anyway. We digress into this being a podcast
a
about potatoes, both myself and Hannah, we work at Youth for Christ. So we are both from the Church Resources Department, where we aim to help serve churches and youth workers to engage with their young people sort of wherever they're at. So I am head of 11 to 18's youth work and discipleship. And Hannah, what do you do?
I am, you've really thrown me in now with my title. I can't remember it. relationships and outreach coordinator, something like that.
Yeah, that was it.
Something like
well
that.
Well done.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
We love a long job title. It's
yeah,
no surprise.
We love a long job title. It's actually longer than that in total, I think, but I just shortened it for the sake of the podcast, or we'll be here all day. So we are gonna during this podcast we talk through three topics, and we're gonna get going with one that you've probably heard about at the moment. We think we'd be remiss not to talk about such a huge worldwide topic, and that is what's going on in Russia and Ukraine at the moment. Really, really difficult, heartbreaking situation. And we don't normally kind of date these podcasts, but we feel like it'd be good to say when we're recording it. We're recording this on Thursday the 3rd of March, and things are changing constantly, day by day. It's probably going to be a completely different situation tomorrow and the day after and by the time this comes out. But just so you know kind of where we're at the moment and when we are recording this. But yeah, so in Russia and Ukraine, obviously there's fighting going on at the moment, really difficult situation, and this is having an impact on young people around the world, obviously the young people in Russia and Ukraine, but also like worldwide as well. We've seen tons of stuff on social media, haven't we, Beth, which you've seen?
Yeah, there's been quite a few different things on social media, and I think it depends what platform you're on, whether you're on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok, but there's a whole different variety of ways this is being shared, and I think news and updates, of course, is being shared on social media. Some of it true, some of it fake or exaggerated as well, as is the nature with online spaces. There are also young people themselves from Ukraine, whether they're living in other countries or actually from within Ukraine itself, and also Russian young people as well, who are posting videos about their side of things, or Ukrainian young people showing their situation, or even them in their shelters. And they even create sometimes some sort of videos with dark humor as well about sort of having to leave home and showing that, which is really tough. And then it goes all the way to memes going around about Zelensky as well, and sort of there's lots of clips going around of because before he was president he did things like Strictly Come Dancing and had a comedian career, so there's lots of clips of what he did before he was president of Ukraine.
It's always
going
really
around
been
as well,
like thrown into the spotlight, hasn't he? Obviously because of everything that's going on. And I've heard it, you know, being talked about that this is, you know, the first kind of like conflict where we're seeing it also like really play out online as well. And I think that's really interesting, seeing that, you know, we can almost get information much more quickly, but it's also like, what do you choose to believe?
There's
a lot of fake news and things like that going round, and you know, it's a really, really tricky situation. And we me and Beth we do some hands-on youth work in the week.
We're both part
of our local church youth group, and we kind of chatted a bit to some of the young people that we know, and they had some different opinions. And I think it just shows there's a real wide variety of how young people are feeling about this. Some of the ones I spoke to, some of the, I guess, younger ones as well, although I wouldn't necessarily put an age on it, were a bit more like, yeah, I've kind of heard about it, but it's not right on my doorstep. So, you know, they're not thinking about it too much, whereas there's a real wide variety.
Yeah, I spoke to some who I think were slightly older, and they sort of had a mixture. So one girl sort of said, oh, well, I found out on TikTok today that it could actually affect us. And sort of that was her thing that she, and again, she found it out through TikTok, was where she got her main information from. And then sort of there was also a sense of, a few of them said, you know, that they're not concerned for us or themselves, but they're concerned for the people involved, for the people in Ukraine. And one said, you know, it's devastating because the people, you know, they've not done anything to deserve it. But one girl in particular expressed, you know, she said, her words were, it's a bit scary because they might bomb us. And she, she was worried, basically.
Really,
her perspective was, she was worried about that. And so, yeah, and I think so there's a wide range of, some young people it's on their radar, others are filled with compassion for what's going on, and I think there's also a sense of, for some of them, they're going, oh, this might actually be something that does affect me, and that's scary.
Yeah, and like what you said on the comment about, oh, you know, we might get like bombs over here and stuff like that, like the stuff kind of like that on TikTok as well, isn't there, about people sharing some scary stuff about, you know,
there's some really kind of quite, and the graphic videos,
quite heavy,
kind of what I mean, heavy videos where people are trying to show like what would happen in certain scenarios, and they're delivered quite informationally, but I'm not sure how helpful they are, because they kind of come across a bit fear-mongering. I don't know
when
how helpful
it,
that is.
When does it move from a healthy kind of fear into real scaremongering?
Yeah, and I saw someone who had actually, so on TikTok you can add another video to something and reply to it, which is called a stitch, and someone had stitched a few videos where they were like, this information isn't even accurate, you're scaring people and the information isn't even accurate. And so I think there's a level of, you know, some of the stuff out there, like what is true, like, and what is just, you know, what is just people, I don't know how you say, expanding and exaggerating. And I think that's quite an interesting balance as well.
And we could talk about this for a long time. We, you know, it'd be good to, I guess, talk to your young people about it. And, you know, I guess the question is, what can we do? I think obviously we can pray. We know the power of prayer and how important that is. We can, like what you said about facts, we can try and keep facts straight and make sure we're not scaremongering and everything like that. We can donate as well. There's loads of places where we can, you know, donate financially, donate supplies, help people out. There's stuff that we can do to help. And I think it's, you know, this generation really does want to help and do what they can. And I think this is a real opportunity to maybe figure out what you and your youth group or you and your children can do about it.
And I think as well, like we'd chatted, hadn't we, like just something to be aware of as we support those young people that we love, that we work with, and whatever capacities there that looks like, that actually for a lot of our young people, that the narrative of their growing up for the past few years has been a narrative of uncertainty with the pandemic, and now this, it's sort of it feels like they can't catch a break, really, in terms of the
one
steadiness
crisis to another
of,
the
life.
Language that's been used
and
as
so
well.
I think, sort of, what does it look like for us to be steady supports in these in these times as well?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, we'll be keeping track of this as it progresses. And obviously, like we said, it's probably going to change hour to hour, let alone day to day as well. So yeah. We're going to move on to our second topic.
We are resuming back to more of a normal service for us now. Which we are going to look at something in the digital world, and this is something called Twitch. So not a nervous eye twitch. It's a platform.
It is a thing.
It is a platform. It is an app. You might have heard of Twitch before because it has been around in its original form since 2011, but it was renamed Twitch, which is what we know it as now,
it's
since
like
2014.
A few of these kind of like things have been around. Like TikTok had been around for a while and then it suddenly gained in popularity.
Yeah, they just kind of get bigger. But Twitch is a platform that is often used for video. Well, it is video streaming, but it offers sort of nearly anything you want to watch, from cooking, music, Q&A sessions, live videos where people sort of chat. But its biggest sort of, I guess, selling point, the place where it gets the most people to, is through video game streaming and streaming video games. So often what will happen is you'll have someone where the sort of part of the screen is them playing a game and the other part of the screen is like you're watching them play the game. Mm-hmm. And so you can see their reactions and they'll talk to the camera. And it is massive in the gaming community. Some of the most popular streams include games like Fortnite, Minecraft, Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, really popular games. And there's a site which has some stats and they reckon there's about a couple of million viewers per day on Twitch.
Wow.
And you can actually find out the live stats of how many are watching. So this morning before we did this podcast, I jumped on and it was like 1.4 something million currently watching live streams. And it was like, whoa. So it's such a big, big thing.
Yeah.
But for people who are into gaming, it's a form of entertainment. But also one of the reasons it's used is because keeping up with gaming can be really expensive, and it's a way to keep up with the latest games. Maybe people can see what they want to get involved with, or you know, if they've completed a game, they can still engage. And on these live streams, you can get involved and chat and join in. So it's not just watching a screen; it's sort of a community element to it as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I would say that's probably a key thing about it, is there's almost a community to it. I think because it's live as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, YouTube obviously does live stuff as well, but this is like, it feels like you can connect straight away with the people who are on the other side. And you know, I follow quite closely with Formula One. It's one of my favorite things. And a lot of the like Formula One drivers, like some of them will like jump on Twitch and be like streaming like them on their on the like Formula One game, or in the like simulations and stuff like that. And it feels like a way to connect. I think that's like a good word for it.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's one of those things, and like you said, there are other platforms that do live streaming, but I think it does sell itself on its own website as being a place to find other people who are fans of the same things, find your fan base community. And it again, it is massive in the gaming community for live streams. But you can kind of go on Twitch on sort of, you know, website browser. You can get the app, which you can get on phones. It's available on devices like Chromecast. You can get it on PlayStation, Xbox. It's kind of all over the shop, really.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you've never heard of it, then, you know, jump on, maybe just join a stream, see what it's like. Maybe chat to the young people you know, especially those who are into gaming, and see if it's something that they engage with and whether they enjoy it.
Yeah, and I've heard of some youth groups and youth leaders like
having their own,
and being like, oh, totally, we'll stream on Twitch tonight, we'll be doing like this game. And you know, it's a cool way to connect, definitely. So yeah, check out Twitch. And then our final topic today is an issues-based topic, which is, I came across some research from the University of Cambridge, and I think they've done it in with some other people as well. And I think we're starting to kind of analyse some of the effects of lockdown. Now we've kind of moved out of it, kind of like what it did for people and how it's maybe changed things. And one of the things that really jumped out to me is it said 1 in 3 young people felt happier during lockdown, which I think is really interesting, because I think when we were in it, we thought, gosh, young people are just hating this. And I think some of them absolutely did. But I think some of them...
And I think it was hard
for many,
many
people.
It was
absolutely hard. And there will definitely have been times for everyone when it was hard. But I think there's also some strange, maybe just some elements of it. Obviously not the pandemic side of things, but some of the elements of being at home more, spending more time doing online school, that some young people actually really connected with and almost enjoyed. I think... Yeah, it was, I'd describe it as kind of like polarizing, like lockdown. It was kind of like you either kind of quite liked it and found some parts of it that you really enjoyed, or it was, you know, really difficult and you didn't like it and couldn't wait until we were kind of seeing people again. Some young people's mental health actually improved over lockdown.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Because I think there's also been reports that have come out showing that young people who are in vulnerable homes or, you know, homes that aren't totally safe, they'll naturally, like, they'll have had a really tough time, yeah, and the stats absolutely show this. But I think it's interesting when you read this as well, that actually one in three young people felt happier during lockdown. And it's interesting because I think I have seen that sometimes reflected in conversations that I've had with young people. We had our sort of youth social a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of young people were in the back of the car, and there's me and a leader in the car with them. Good safeguarding practices, just shout out there.
Two leaders in a car.
And we were just chatting about life, seeing how these three young people were. And one of them just was like, oh, I really miss lockdown. And then one of the other young people was like, yeah, I do too. They're like, school was so much less stressful. I was so much more relaxed. Everything was slower. And the first young person was like, yeah, I totally was. And then the third young person was like, yeah, no, I miss it as well. Like, I'm so much more stressed now and overwhelmed. And then the first young person went, oh, I actually even preferred youth when it was online, which I never thought I would hear. I thought they were just like done at the end of them. The pandemic with that, really. But I think it's interesting because in that moment, I think that was a real eye opener for me of going, oh, actually, like, the transition back to sort of, we talk about it, don't we, going back to how things were, and it's not quite that way, but sort of the return to doing more things in person, such as school, college, church, socializing, clubs, all of
it's
that
a lot, isn't it?
Has been overwhelming for some young people. And I think and that's just really interesting for us to be aware of.
Yeah, definitely. And there could be an element, you know, of like, you know, when you're not in it, you kind of tend to look back at things a little bit with like rose tinted spectacles, you know, a little bit of that going on. But I think it's maybe interesting to see that some young people actually were happier during lockdown. So we have reached an exciting time.
We have indeed.
We have reached our word of the month.
We have a word of the month.
We do have a word of the month, but first we have a jingle.
We do.
3, 2, 1. Word.
No! How dare you? You had to do it too. I just sang word on my own. I just tried to leave Hannah sing it on her own and it didn't work. Okay,
three, two, one.
Word of the month. Beautiful. Oh, wow.
That was horrible this week.
What a treat for your ears.
I feel like really exposed in that one. Oh. It felt very, I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it.
Maybe you've learned a lesson in vulnerability today. Who knows?
Definitely.
Educational.
Definitely.
Every day is a school day.
But yeah, Beth, what is our word of the month?
Our word of the month is basic. So this word has been around for a little while and it doesn't seem to be going away. It's still quite commonly used. So basic is basically used to used to describe someone or something that is considered bland or unoriginal, but it's often used in reference to things or people as well that are pretty mainstream or commonly popular things. So for example, one of the stereotypes of a basic girl, as it would be called, would be a girl who goes around wearing UGG boots and drinks Starbucks.
I was going to say Starbucks.
Her favourite shows are like Grey's Anatomy and Hannah does a face there.
I feel called out now.
And so it's sort of almost people who enjoy all these mainstream things and follow the crowd are often called basic, or if something, seems unoriginal or is just a bit sort of considered meh, then it's like, oh, that's so basic.
But if you like those things, just go with it.
Yeah,
it's all
and
good.
I think
it's
be true to yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's
I'm
true
a bit
in everything.
Basic,
but yeah, if someone goes, oh, they're so basic or that's so basic, then that's what it means. Mm. So it's not too far from its original meaning, but just used in a different context.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can use that word in your month this month. Give it a go. But we have come to the end of our podcast. We really hope that this has been useful to you. Please give us a little like follow, and also we're trying to post more on our social media as well, so check out our Instagram, which is YFC Resources. We'd love for you to check that out. But yeah, subscribe to the podcast, send it to other people, because you know, we're not saying that for our own benefit, but we just really want to help people out, and we'd love for you to send that on to other people as well. So we will see you soon. We'll see you next month.
We will indeed. Bye.